A plan to create a vast network of marine protected areas stretching from Vancouver Island to the Alaskan border inched closer to reality this Thursday after the governments of Canada, British Columbia and over a dozen First Nations released a draft plan to the public. If enacted, the Marine Protected Areas, MPAs, would protect nearly a third of the Northern Shelf Bioregion, a 100,000 square kilometer tract of ocean also known as the Great Bear Sea. The network would help Canada achieve its own targets of conserving 25% of the country's oceans by 2025 and 30% by 2030. Minimum threshold scientists say are required to reverse biodiversity loss by 2050. While the proposed network would inch Canada 0.2% closer to those targets, it would also create a blueprint for other sensitive marine ecosystems under threat across the country. Even though we've had years and years of delay, this is definitely the closest we've ever come, said Killian Steffest, a marine conservation specialist with the David Suzuki Foundation. It's really the pilot for other regions of Canada. The first marine protected area in Canada was established in 2003 around the Endeavour hydrothermal vents, 250 kilometers off the coast of Vancouver Island. Since then, 13 more swaths of ocean have been put under legal protection in a bid to preserve everything from Pacific glass sponges, to roving blue whales off Canada's Atlantic coast, to Arctic feeding and breeding habitats for polar bears and seals. Alone, scientists say no single chunk of the seabed can protect ecosystems that span entire coastlines or oceans. A network of protected ecosystems, however, could offer ocean-trotting whales or salmon a refuge in the same way intact wetlands give sanctuary to migrating birds. That's important in BC, where the province's coastal ecosystems face a complicated set of pressures from a variety of human pressures, and increasingly, climate change. On the southeast edge of Hecate Strait, Kitasu Bay is a hot spot of biodiversity and a vital source of food for the Kitasu Zaizé Nation. But in recent decades, once abundant abalone have disappeared and salmon runs have dwindled. Kitasu Zaizé Nation, Moonfish Media and Insurance Policies since humans started burning vast quantities of fossil fuels in the Industrial Revolution, the world's oceans have helped cushion the effects of a warming climate by absorbing and storing heat. But many ocean creatures can only handle so much warming before they die or are forced to move to cooler waters. Another problem for the web of marine life comes from increasingly acidic oceans. When carbon dioxide mixes with seawater, the gas transforms into carbonic acid. The more acidic the ocean, the less calcium carbonate it can hold. A key ingredient sea creatures use to grow shells and coral species use to expand their life-supporting reefs. Over the past 250 years, human-produced carbon dioxide has led to a 30% spike in ocean acidity, threatening the survival of entire marine ecosystems that require the right pH balance. No amount of MPAs will reverse climate's impact on ocean life, but they could help limit local threats from a number of human activities, including fishing, aquaculture, shipping traffic, tourism, oil and gas extraction, and coastal development. It's a bit of an insurance policy, said Steffest. This isn't the first time a network of MPAs has been deployed as a hedge against threats to the ocean. In California, early research has shown its network of 124 MPAs, together spanning over 16% of state waters, has helped to boost stocks of rockfish and beds of endangered black abalone since they were introduced a decade ago. In one group of islands under protection, the density of fish species was 50% higher than outside of the network. Protecting swaths of ocean could also generate millions of metric tons of food that wouldn't be available without them. One 2020 study found that strategically expanding a global network of marine protected areas by 5% could increase future catches by 20%. The proposal to expand BC's MPAs would double the current number of MPAs. The 30,000 square kilometers of protected waters would cover an area equal to 3% of all Canadian waters in the Pacific. Designed to safeguard biodiversity, special natural features and fish stocks, the protected seas are also meant to contribute to the social and economic health of the region. Fishing groups say they aren't being heard. Not everyone is optimistic about the promise of a coast-wide network of protected ocean. Many communities up and down the coast have not been properly consulted, according to Owen Bird, executive director of the Sport Fishing Institute of BC. He worries that the network will lock out coastal residents from important resources they need to survive and turn the ocean into preserves or natural parks. The worst-case scenario is something that is preservationist, where there's only certain kind of access or only First Nations have access to huge swaths, said Owen. That's kind of a disaster for those small communities. Sport fishing employs around 9,000 people in BC. Another 250,000 to 300,000 people hold tidal angling licenses at any given time, says Bird. BC's commercial fishery, meanwhile, has faced devastating closures in recent years. In 2021, a ministerial order from Fisheries and Oceans Canada, DFO, said it would shut 60% of Pacific salmon fisheries. Watershed Watch Salmon Society's Greg Taylor said fisheries managers have not since met that threshold of closures. But due to a dwindling fleet, limited catch windows and interception of Canadian-bound fish in Alaska, catching a lot of fish can be hard, even during healthy sockeye returns like that seen on the Skeena River this year. Commercial purse seine fishers haul their net while fishing for pink and chum salmon in the southeastern region of Alaska. While many BC fishers face limited catches of some salmon species, in Alaska, catches have been much bigger, says fisheries expert Greg Taylor. Submitted by Watershed Watch, Skeena Wild, it's over, said Taylor. The commercial fleet is a shadow of what it was. Salmon, however, isn't the only commercially viable catch in BC. Emily Orr, business agent for the United Fishermen and Allied Workers Union, said by setting targets to protect 25% of Canada's oceans by 2025, the federal government has put undue pressure on fishery closures. The death by a thousand cuts analogy really applies here, she said. In the lead up to the draft protection plan, Orr said fishery groups have been largely left out of consultation until it's too late to make any difference. Both Bird and Orr said they hope that will change with the latest round of public input. Responding to industry concerns, a spokesperson for the proposed MPA network said it would help create more stability and economic security for coastal communities, and contribute to a strong future for BC fisheries. Starting in September 15, the draft plan will open to public consultation until the end of October 2022. First Nations and others living along the coast can provide input on the plan through an online survey, open houses and webinars, all available at https://mpanetwork.ca/engage. A full report is expected in the spring of 2023. Once the blueprint, known as a Network Action Plan, is endorsed, several new patches of ocean could be officially protected starting in 2025. Canada playing catch up across Canada's Atlantic, Arctic and Pacific Oceans, 14 MPAs are safeguarded under the Oceans Act, together accounting for 6% of the country's coastal waters. But according to the Marine Conservation Institute, which tracks marine protected areas across the world, only 0.3% of Canadian coastal waters are either fully or highly protected. Compared to other nations, that figure places Canada tied in 27th spot, far behind countries like the United States, Australia and the United Kingdom. Even Russia, with its massive Arctic coastline, has done a better job in protecting its oceans, according to the Institute. Part of the gap between government and independent assessments comes down to quality of protection. A 2021 report from the BC chapter of the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, CPAWSBC, found that more than 60% of the province's marine protected areas were not effective in protecting biodiversity. Kate McMillan, Oceans Conservation Manager for CPAWSBC, said many protected areas amount to paper parks that don't have adequate protection from trawling, or in some cases, still have open oil and gas permits on the books. If Canada has a hope of meeting its marine protection targets in 2030, it needs to take swift and decisive action to improve its own standards, she said. A spokesperson for the MPA network told Glacier Media it has taken over a decade to create the marine network to ensure due diligence. The current phase of public consultation, said the spokesperson, will be crucial to work through issues and ensure the future regulatory processes are efficient and comprehensive. Still, said McMillan, the delays in the process have been concerning. The longer you delay in getting these sites designated means that the impacts on these areas are just going to continue. Fishing protection levels in BC, including fully, highly protected, blue, less protected, unknown, green, designated and unimplemented, hashed pink, and proposed, committed, hashed yellow. Marine Protection Atlas, Marine Conservation Society, or as Doug Nieslos, chief counselor for the Katasu Zaizé Nation, put it, I think we're light years behind. Nieslos recently returned from a global UN Oceans conference in Portugal, where he said he was struck by how many nations competed to protect a greater share of their oceans. Back home on BC's central coast, his community has sat at the negotiating table with the federal government for more than 15 years to come up with a plan to conserve Canada's oceans. After so many missed deadlines, Nieslos said, we have nothing to show for it. The Katasu Zaizé way of life is at stake, he said. Tired of waiting, First Nation protects marine, breadbasket, alone at Katasu Bay, people have harvested food for generations. At some times of the year, they set tree branches underwater to collect herring eggs during the spawning season. When they are later pulled into a boat, the dark green swashes are covered in a thick mat of white eggs. That brings in all the halibut and all the ducks, all the seals and sea lions and rockfish, said Nieslos, describing the bay as the nation's breadbasket. It's what feeds and sustains our community. Katasu Zaizé harvesters collect herring eggs from branches they sink into Katasu Bay. Katasu Zaizé Nation, Moonfish Media. But in recent decades, the abundance once seen has declined. Abalone has vanished and the salmon run this year has been among the worst Nieslos has seen. We couldn't wait anymore, he said. Our nation just said, listen, we're tired and we're frustrated waiting for government. So we're gonna take it upon ourselves to protect our own areas, he said. On July 21, the Katasu Zaizé announced they would be establishing their own nearly 35-square-kilometer marine protected area in Katasu Bay. The First Nation is still consulting industry and gave the federal and provincial governments 90 days to respond to its MPA declaration. In the meantime, the community is patrolling Katasu Bay, largely with its 8 guardian watchmen, who ensure outsiders aren't harvesting species that need time to recover. As environmental stewards, the watchmen are not armed. Instead, they're trained in conflict de-escalation. Still, some situations have spiraled out of control. Nieslos says that about 5 years ago Fisheries and Oceans Canada opened up the herring fishery in Katasu Bay. At the time, Katasu Zaizé's own experts and leaders assessed that fish stocks weren't at levels that justified opening their waters to fishing. We sent a letter and said, don't go to Katasu Bay. And what did they do? The whole fleet went to Katasu Bay, said Nieslos. Doug Nieslos, chief counselor for the Katasu Zaizé Nation, says his community declared its own marine protected area in Katasu Bay after years of delay. Katasu Zaizé Nation, Moonfish Media. After an emergency community meeting, a delegation delivered the letter to each fishing boat that had come into the bay, asking them to leave to help the fish recover. Within a few minutes, most boats motored away respectfully and without incident. A few said, screw you guys, I'll fish wherever DFO says I can fish, said Nieslos. So we basically said, well, it's gonna end one of two ways. Either you pull up anchor and leave peacefully or we come out here with 50 boats and we drag you out. The remaining boats left. Such incidents don't happen regularly, but coming together as a community to eject poachers or uninvited fishers remains a last resort, said Nieslos. Verbal judo, and focusing on ways to invite people into the community in positive ways, is the preferred option, he said. We want people to come to our territory and make a living as a commercial fisherman or as a recreational fisherman. But yeah, there's some areas that we need to look at stronger measures, he said. Correction. A previous version of this story said the draft MPA plan would open to the public Monday. The plan, in fact, was released Thursday, September 15.